Well, good morning, Trailhead Church. I'm excited about today's message. If you're new today, we're so thankful that you have shown up and that you're here. Make sure that you stick around, ask questions, introduce yourself to someone. Someone will introduce themselves to you. We have so many friendly individuals here at this church. They love you dearly. And so I think it's just so important that you don't just run out the door, but you stick around and find somebody to meet. You know, I know what it's like to go to a church by yourself. Maybe you're here by yourself. I've gone to churches by myself with friends. And when it's a new moment, I understand the uneasiness of it. And so I would encourage you to just kind of lean into that uneasiness and say, you know what, I'm going to break through and I'm going to introduce myself. And when you do that, you begin to make yourself more friendly. And so when you make yourself friendly, you make friends. And so I would encourage you to do that. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy does not want you to make friends or community in this place. And for some of you, maybe you've been here for about a month or so and you still haven't made friends. It does take some time. For some reason, this world we live in right now, we're very introverted at times. And some of you just haven't met some of the friendliest people on the planet yet. I got to tell you, there's some really friendly people in this place. Some of my favorite people are right here in this room right now. When I see them, I get my face lights up. I get excited. And so I know that they're here. So I would encourage you for you to find out who they are and to make yourself friendly, okay? So don't be a stranger anymore. Everyone promise? Sweet. All right, here we go. My wife is in camp 3 this morning. I think she's volunteering with the children's church. She wanted me to tell you she's not a church skipper. So usually she's on the front row over here cheering me on, but she's in camp 3 right now cheering your kids on. So it's a good, thank you. You're amazing. You're awesome. All right, here we go. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, "You are now very old." Isn't that awesome? Hey, you know what? God don't lie, right? God doesn't lie. God tells the truth everywhere he goes, everything he does. God tells the truth. I love it. He's just right there. He's like, you're old. You're very old now. He says, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. You know, for some of you in this room, maybe you don't realize this, but you're old. And some of you in this room, you're young. And some of you in this room, you're right there in the middle. But guess what? God's not done. There are large areas in front of you. There are so many things to do. Some of you guys have already checked the box of it's over. It's resting time. Some of us do that often, right? Man, you're tired. I'm tired. It's time just to sit back and relax. I've got some bad news for all of you in this room. I've got some bad news. See, you have this idea that we, especially Americans, that we live a cushioned lifestyle, that we can just pick and choose when we want to go and do something heavy or hard. Guys, I'm here to tell you, we are in a constant state of battle and a constant state of war. Some of you don't realize it because you kind of just sit on your hands and you think, oh, I don't want to do this, not right now. You have this notion of thought that plagues you with, I want to just get by as easy as possible. I want to just skim through life, do what I got to do so that I can just rest. But guess what? That's far from the truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared in advance for us to do. There are things. See, there's a battle waging all around us. And God knows your capabilities. Why? Because he's in advance placed those good things in you. And he says, I know who you are. I know what you're capable of. I can help you. There are going to be battles. There's going to be troubles. But take heart. I've overcome this world. Now, here's the problem. Some of you don't realize what any of that means. Because why? because you've heard too many lame sermons. Yeah, I'm calling all pastors out, myself included. We preach lame little sermons that make you just feel good about yourselves. We say things just to be like, you go get them. We've got to wake up. This is a battle. We're supposed to be victorious. But yet we preach these sermons of this idea of like, oh, if you guys just do this, we can be good little Christians. But yet I read all of these scriptures and I see something bigger at hand. There are wars all around us. There are things that are taking place that are trying to destroy us. They're going against the things of God. We've got to be careful. We need to be wise individuals. See, our theology at times, when we view certain aspects of life, it can create a dissonance in our relationship with God. And that distance that creates actually creates a lie that God doesn't stand on. And that lie we can begin to believe, so therefore we see everything through this lie. So I want to bring us back to God's truth so we can see it through his eyes and his understanding. In John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father do. That I only do what I see him do. That's good English, by the way. Do you like that, Dave? I want to do what he's doing is essentially what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I can only speak the words that I hear God speak. I can only do these things that God is doing. And then Jesus gives us that same blueprint to follow. So when I'm listening to these words that Jesus is speaking, I'm starting to think, man, I've got to do what God's got to do. I've got to do these things. I need to be ready, attentive. I need to be listening. I need to be leaning in, because otherwise you're just void, you know, walking around in a void of lifestyle. It's like everything's just kind of numb to you. And you get hit by something. You're just like, well, that's just what it is. But we got to be wise. Why do we have to be wise? Well, we know that the enemy likes to roar or like to prowl around like a roaring lion. We know that the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that the enemy wants to create destruction in our lives. The enemy wants to make us numb, dumb, and very, very lazy. He wants to succumb to this acceptance of this is just the way life is. But that's not the truth. That's not what God's word says at all. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, meaning Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? We're supposed to reign. So I'm going to preach 3 points this morning. My first point, you've heard me preach 1 million times. 1 million. This will be 1,000,001. And you're going to love it. Number one, I want you to study the map. We have an assignment here. I love when my children say, I got homework. I don't know what to do. I love it. It's like the first thing out of their mouth. I don't know what to do. And I look at them and go, you sit in school for like 6 to 8 hours in a classroom. I guarantee you that teacher told you what you need to do. You didn't listen. And on top of that, the assignment that they give you either a textbook along with a worksheet. And usually at the top of the worksheet gives you the instructions. So it always blows my mind when my children, and it never fails, I don't know what to do. So I sit down with them at the kitchen table and I look at it and I go, because I don't know what to do either, by the way. So I go to the instruction at the top. I've learned where everything is that shows you where and what you should do. So I look at the top and I go, if that's, And then never fails, the first question I get wrong. And my children correct me. No, no, Dad, that's not how you do it. Blows my mind, right? Blows my mind. In that one moment, I just want to smack them. Then why are you wasting my time if you know what you're supposed to do? Why? Because we become codependent on other people. Man, all we want to do, we want to seek other people. Hey. Instead of just going to him. But man, I get over there with my children. I get so frustrated. Here are the instructions. They start following it. Guys, it's important that when we have an assignment, and every one of you, if you don't believe that you, if you're just one of the lucky ones, that you don't have an assignment in life, which I don't even know how you live this way. That is crazy. If you really believe with all of your heart, you sitting in this room right now, believe that you're just living life, la vida loca, and that you can just walk around, and that everywhere you go, you just roll dice, and it's seven every time. I don't know. I don't gamble, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But all I know is you have this idea that you walk on clouds. Now, I don't know, but I'm here to wreck your world and tell you that you're wrong and that you have an assignment. Some of you are on assignment right now. Some of you are waiting for that assignment. But some of you are blind, deaf, and dumb to that assignment. And you've got to wake up. You need to realize you're on assignment. And the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Oh, man. You've got to study the map. You need to know what the map says. Now, I don't get me wrong. Sometimes you open up the map, which is the Bible, the Word of God, and you get real confused real quick. But that's where God sends good people. When you are leaning into those scriptures and you're saying, God, I need to know what this has to say. God will give you this. A year ago, I found out my children didn't know the states. I got so upset. I said, you don't know where the states are? You don't know on the map. What are they teaching you, man? What do you mean you don't know where the states are? And they were like, well, I don't know. And like, well, I think that's Florida. And I was like, think, oh my gosh, it is Florida. That's Florida. And then Carly, no joke. She says, what state is OODA? I go, OODA? Utah. Utah, that's Utah. Oh my gosh, Carly, you've been to Utah. She goes, I have? Oh man, oh, right? Now it's a running joke. At my house, we always wanna know if we're going to OODA for vacation. OODA. You may look at the Word of God and you may say something wrong. You may look at the Word of God and go, does that what that means? I promise, God will deliver you from those moments. God will show you the right thing, so don't get discouraged. Now, some of you just got all mean on me. You probably just thought, oh, what a mean father that the innocent little girl said OODA out of her sweet princess heart, and you just made fun of her and crushed her. Nope, Cademan, Cohen, and Colton did that. She has three older brothers that will destroy her. No, realistically, this is what happened. Realistically, we did not crush her. Yes, it was funny. Yes, we all chuckled. But immediately I go, Carly, it's Utah. Utah, say it, Utah, she said it. And I was like, you've been there before. She goes, I have? And I said, yes, baby, come on, Utah. Okay, all right, Utah. I didn't crush her, you moron. You go outside. No, I didn't do anything like that. You guys, crazy. All right. To fulfill your divine assignment, You must know God's word. The Bible's a book of guidance. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is good. Nope. But God is good. All scripture is God's right. This is good, guys. God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why did I say that all scripture is good first? It doesn't say that, but that's what it is. See, some of you guys have a real hard problem with teaching, rebuking, and correcting. You get real, that's not good. It is good. God is good. This is good. Rebuking, correcting is good. Training is good. Training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God helps us. The word of God quickens our spirit. The word of God shows us the things we need to see. This is not a bad thing. Sometimes the result of the prayer you're seeing, or maybe the voice in your head, doesn't align with the word of God, and you need to stop for a second and ask yourself these hard questions. Does my prayer or the voice in my head align up with the word of God? Or am I on some crazy planet? Or am I in my own world? Ask yourselves these things. Ask, and when you start deciphering some of the things you're thinking or some of the things you're praying, you align those with the word of God, and you go, man, this is what the word of God's saying. Ah, I've been saying it wrong. I've been doing it wrong. I need to fix this. You guys got to be ready. His word doesn't contradict, right? It doesn't contradict. Now, we also know in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So you guys got to have confidence, which is just another word for faith, faith to know that God will reveal to you his way. He will. He will show you these things. He will begin to open up doors for you. He will shut doors that need to be shut for you. But you need to go to that map, this true understanding of saying, man, this is where I begin. And in that map, I see this happening. I see this happening. God's telling me this over here. Okay, all right, this is all lining up every single day, maybe multiple times in a day, because you guys are on assignment. There's a war at hand. And every single day, the enemy's chipping away things. Sometimes it's big bites. Sometimes it's just small little things. But you need to be ready and aware of what's happening, that you are doing what the Father's told you to do. Number two, you got to commit to the assignment. You got to commit to it. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Man, you got to resist the devil. You got to resist the devil. Some of you don't even know. This is where I'm going to hopefully reveal to you in Scripture right now. My prayer is that God opens up your eyes to see what's happening. I got in a fight when I was in the seventh grade. I didn't actually hit anybody. I was just about to, and my mom came through, and it's an embarrassing story. And so I've told it before. I'm not going to tell it again just for the fact of time here. But my mom did one of the hardest things the next morning. And the next morning was school. My mom made me go to school. That was hard. I remember sitting there in my bed going, nope, every excuse. I'm sick. Legitimately, actually, because I was sick. The thought about going to school with a bully wanting to beat me up. Nope, not doing it. Mom's like, I remember getting right in that room. You're going to get up right now, mister. You're going to get dressed, and you're going to show those bullies that they don't bother you. No way, Mom. Not happening. Not doing it. What a mean mom. Right? Some of you in this room, what a mean mom to teach me a lesson. Some of you are like, I would never put my son through that. Yeah, you would, and you have. I know some of you have. My mom was telling me something, right? My mom was telling me, and she was she told me, you're not going to let those bullies, you're going to show them that they don't bother you. This is a life lesson moment. That was hard. Man, I did not like it. And then guess what? There was school the next day. And there was school the next day. And then came the end of the school year, and I remember there was parties. And I went to a party, a birthday party, and I remember this birthday party, we were playing volleyball, and the kids decided, they were on the other side of the court, and they decided that they were going to go all on one team, and they were going to hit the ball at me every single time as hard as they could. And so that's what they did. I hate volleyball to this day. I hate it. I'm only kidding. I kind of like it. But I remember the next party, and I told my mom, I'm not going to this party. She goes, why? I said, because all these kids are bullies. She goes, no, you're going to that party. You're going to show them that they don't bother you. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you're literally the worst. You're the worst. You have no idea. It's easy for you. You're just telling me to go do this. And my mom's like, no, I'm not telling you just to go do this. And then she begins to train me. She began to tell me about praying and to lean in on God, to have God shut the mouths of those lions. My mom was telling me things. You can look at this theology real quick, this story, and you can go, what a mean mom. Or you can look at it and go, you know what? This is what Jesus was saying. There are troubles in this world. Take heart. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you. Do you guys know the Holy Spirit knows everything? Holy Spirit knows everything. Holy Spirit knows everything. Everybody say it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Holy Spirit knows everything. Half of you believe that because only half of you said it this morning. Holy Spirit knows everything. Do you know that in John? You know, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the devil. Now, do you know the scriptures? Did I just lie to you? Did I tell you the truth? Now, no. He was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was to be tempted. The Holy Spirit did it. Some of you can look at this and go, man, that Holy Spirit is so mean. You need to wake up, though. See, knowing that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, where Jesus was going to be tempted, we got to recognize that God will never lead us into a storm that he doesn't give us the power to overcome. The question is, do you allow that storm to overcome you? Jesus was given as an example for us to follow that when you get into a wilderness temptation moment, you have the power to overcome these things. The problem is, do you know you have the power or not? Yeah. That's the problem. You get into these situations, you go, I don't know what to do. I don't know the assignment. I don't know the instructions. Then you ask someone, a parent who don't know Jack, learned it a long time ago, hey, can you show me what to do? You ask somebody, and then they go, I think it might be this, and you go off the think. The other day, I was helping Carly with her math. I had it, man. I had it. I think I was pretty smart in math. So I'm telling her, I said, no, baby, you need to put 17 in this square, and you need to put 42 in that square. And she goes, no, Daddy, I promise, it's 17, 42. And I looked at her, and I did it. Carly, I'm 42. I'm 42 years old. you need to trust me right now. She got it wrong. She listened to me. She erased it. Sure enough, she got it wrong. And I pulled the I'm 42 card, right? I mean, that's messed up. We're going to people. We're asking them all these things. You got any idea? Job did this. You got any ideas of what's going on? No. But this is what I think. This is what I feel. A partial truth. A partial answer. We got to be careful. See, you need to know what the whole scripture says. You need to know what the map says. See, in Mark chapter 4, in verse 35, okay, there's a storm brewing. Holy Spirit knows all about these storms, right? Holy Spirit knew the storms were there. These are forces of nature. These are things that are happening on this earth. Holy Spirit knows these things. There's a storm. Sometimes there's storms in the midst, and Jesus gives you a warning. There's a warning, all right? So here's the storm. But before the storm even came, Jesus said, hey, let's get on a boat. And he says this. That day when evening came, he said to the disciples, hey, let us go over to the other side. This is important. Because halfway, there's a storm. And the disciples are freaking out. What in the world's happening? Why is this happening? Oh my gosh, why is this happening? How could you sleep through this, Jesus? Wake up, help us, right? Jesus comes out, calms the storm. He takes authority over it. And what does he do? He rebukes the disciples. He rebukes them. He looks at them and says, what is going on? You guys have been following me for a while now. You should know what faith is. Gosh, come on. He's telling them, hey, take authority over these things. This is what's going to have to happen. I'm not going to be with you forever. I'm going to be leaving here soon. And in leaving you soon, you've got to learn how to take authority over these things. You've got to know that the enemy's on assignment. But you have a greater assignment. And that greater assignment is going to call for you to act and operate in the power that God's given you. You've got to be awake and alive. Why? Because the enemy wants you dead. The enemy's got an assignment for you as well. I've been talking about this for a while now. He wants to make you so dumb, so ignorant. But here's the problem. Some of you already forgot. I'm kidding. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. What did Jesus say in the very beginning? Come on, let's go to the what? Other side. Jesus does what in John chapter 5? Does what the Father says. He only does what he sees the Father do. So he just told them, hey, we're going to what? The other side. That's why it's important that you know the map, that you lean into your assignment. Because when you begin to lean into your assignment, what's going to happen is that you know what God has to say about it, that you're going what? To the other side. That when the storm comes, you don't sit there and be like, oh, this is it. This is it. Oh, man, this is it. No, this isn't it. He said to the other side. You need to know what the Word of God says on your life. Otherwise, you will get defeated. That's why people have all these crazy theologies and this crazy doctrine, because they see Christians who didn't have a map, who didn't even know what God's word says, and then they get into a situation like this and they have no authority, no faith. They have no idea what's happening, and they sit there and they just flip and flop, like they just flail. And you're like, what is this? God told us that we're going to have power. He said that we're going to have a sweet aroma. We'll get to that in a second. He's never going to lead us in a way that's going to destroy us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let's read the I love how the Message translates this. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. This is legit. Yeah, we just walk around like it's no big deal. You guys don't realize some of the words you're saying in your marriage. You're mean. You're an antagonist. You say some awful things to your spouses. You say some awful things to your coworkers. You're mean. You spit and spew all sorts of things, poisonous things that the enemy wants you to. You're creating an environment where God can't be in. But yet when that environment begins to implode, you go, where's God? You're the one who's supposed to bring God into the situation. You're the one who should know better. Every one of you in this room, you should know better. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 7. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at you, or angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. You're on assignment. You've made vows and promises to God. God, I will do this. But yet then you get leery and weary. You get confused. We got to wake up. We got to know what God's calling us to do. So my third point is to succeed, flourish, and prosper. You are to succeed, flourish, and prosper. Man, Romans 5:17 again. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, this is Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? We can have life, life that we can reign in this life. Do you know what this means? We can't view life as an 8 to 10 hour job thing, 5 days a week where we just get a paycheck. And somehow you're just going to retire and die someday. No. No, that's not what this is about. No, it's God has intentions for us. He's created much more than what you can imagine. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphant possession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Guys, he's called you on assignment to be the aroma where there's stench. Some of us, we smell stench and we just go the other way. And then God pushes you back in. And then you get confused. God did this then. God did this. God did this. And you want to tell everybody, God did this. God did. God put me in this. And God, he created it. No. No. He didn't create it. But he gave you the authority to overcome it. He gave you the authority to go in and show people how to overcome it. He gave you the aroma for everyone else to go, that's sweet. I would rather smell that than this. Oh, I'd rather have this life than that life. Oh, I want to, why are you this way? Why are you this way? Jesus. Let me tell you, it's Jesus. That's what this is all about. Wherever and whenever believers are involved, anywhere, all of us, everyone in this room, there should be an abundance of creativity, productivity, tranquility, sensitivity, and ingenuity. Every one of us in this room, we need to be wise. We need to have an understanding that goes way higher than anyone else's understanding in the room. This is an assignment. You should be the smartest one in this room. You should take that on and say, no, I need to know the authority and the power that's been given to me. I need to be able to speak up when I need to be spoken in a louder way. Not in an ignorant louder way, but a way of saying, no, let me give you this example and then this truth, because this sounds way better than what you guys are wanting to do. And they'll look at you and they'll go, wow, that was much more intelligent than what we were thinking. And then you go, it was Jesus. And they may chalk it up and they go, oh, that was weird. And then the next time around, the same thing happens. And then you go, man, it was Jesus. And then they go, man, this is odd. This guy's getting it. He's getting it right every time. You need to be smarter. Sensitivity, ingenuity, you need to have it. You can have it. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Do you guys know that God is for you? He is for you. This is what I want all of us to walk away with right now, because I'm tired of this theology that God wants to come in and be a child abuser. Yeah. I won't stand for it and tolerate it in this house. Do you hear me? My God is not a child abuser. It doesn't make any sense. All right? He doesn't have this notion of like, well, today I'm going to make life for Kim awful. Tomorrow I'm sure that everything is beautiful and I'll have a butterfly land on her finger. No, that's not how this works. Okay? So 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, let me read you this beautiful description that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And that goes on to a whole nother story. You guys, I don't serve a manic depressant, a schizophrenia, a split personality. I do not operate underneath a God who is bipolar. I do not operate underneath a God who is one thing one day and another another day. I do not operate underneath a God, a father, who is a child abuser. I do not. I will not. That doesn't make any sense. That creates such a distance of relationship with a God that I don't know if I can trust one day or the next. If God is for me, or maybe today he's against me. What is he trying to teach me? No. He's trying to put you in situations where there's a war at hand, and you're to overcome it with power. And yes, you may fail in that battle, but the question is, do you turn away from that battle and go, you blame God? Or do you say, all right, what did I do wrong and what do I need to fix? God, what is it? What are you trying to tell me in this word that I need to do different? Because that was an epic failure and I can't do this again. I want to know what your word has to say. I'm not going to fall in that folly again. I'm going to find out what your word says, because you told me that I'm the head and not the tail. You told me that I can speak to mountains. So God, show me what I need to be doing. God tells you these things. He tells you. He speaks to you. He loves on you. He is love. God doesn't push you down and say, oh, good luck next time. No, he does not. 1 John 4:13 through 16. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit And we have seen and testified what the Father has sent his Son to be, the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love of God that he has for us. Guys, I live on the love of God. I live in the presence of God. That I know what his word says, so that when I find myself in the middle of the storm, I know the assignment that I have, and that's to get to the other side. By knowing the assignment to get to the other side, then I know that I can be prosperous, that I can live in a life that's not in a lie, but in a truth and an understanding of saying, man, I've got to operate what God's given me. I know that I'm not fighting against flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6, but what am I? I'm fighting against spiritual warfare. So what do I need to do? I need to put on the helmet of salvation, belt of truth, right? You start putting on the armor of God, and the armor of God will begin to protect you. That you have the shield of faith, right? And you begin to fight off those fiery darts. Why? Because God said so. God said it was going to happen. He's not the one shooting fiery darts at you. He's telling you there's a war. There is a battle right now. I'm trying to make you battle ready. Are you willing to be battle ready? Are you willing to sit and be like, meh, when's Christmas happening? I want my new Xbox. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of lame sermons. Guys, this is not a time for us to sit here and be like, well, I love old dudes. Old dudes are my favorite. I just met an old dude at the gym last week. His name's Gerald. First thing out of his mouth was he knew that we were pastors, and he said, I love Jesus. And then the next thing out of his mouth, old dudes watch a lot of news. He looked at me and he goes, and this country is under judgment of God. And I was like, well, maybe. I don't know. I love it. They're like, some of you in this room are that way. And I'm not making fun of you. I just love the fact that you guys are like, and I love it. It's great. But the question I have is, are you battle ready? Or are you just telling everybody about rumors of war? The question is, are you battle ready? And the women in this room, no offense, but all you do is worry about it all. And I got to tell you guys, you women got to stop worrying. I'm going to write a book someday called Worry is Worthless, all right? I swear I'm writing this book. Worry is worthless. It is worthless. You worry. You worry. But yet you women in the Bible are the ones who declares Jesus as Lord and Savior first, multiple times. You women have power. You need to be victorious in your homes, being a Proverbs 31 woman and say, hey, this world's kind of crazy right now, but guess what? This is the battle that we're in, and we need to be battle ready. We need to get our house in order. We need to know what we need to be speaking out, all right? It's real easy. My children, they go to public school. Public school, right? Public school, right? They do all kinds of crazy things. They come home, they got some crazy mindset of they want to say a bad word. And I look at them, I go, not that word. You can't say that word. Why? Because that's not a good word. So I train them, right? I teach them. I show them, hey, don't do this. Don't act like that. Don't say these things, right? You don't have to do what they say is okay to do. That doesn't make sense. So do you think that my answer is to say, well, you're staying home with me forever now? Heck no. They're going to the school bus the next day. Now, some of you in this room, you homeschool. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to let you know. God told you to homeschool. You homeschool. Some of you kids are going to Christian school. You go to Christian school. You do it. That's fine. My kids are going to public school, and that's okay, too. It's all right, okay? I went to Christian school, so don't even be like, oh, you're one of those guys. No, I went to Christian school, so I can say these things. I have legit, like, scars of Christian school in me, okay? But I'm telling you that some of us in this room, we need to make ourselves battle ready. So in the environment that you find yourself, you make your children and your family battle ready. You don't teach them this philosophy of that God's doing this to us right now. That makes zero sense. Psalm 23 busts that. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Even in the valley, the worst parts of it, guess what? He comforts us. He doesn't put us in the valley. He knows there's gonna be valleys. And he says, what? I'll comfort you. I didn't put you there just to beat up on you and to watch this happen. He's not sadistic. Give me a break. He is love. Some of you are like, I just wanted Funny Josh this week. Listen, I like Funny Josh too. But I got to tell you guys, you're on assignment. And some of you got to break some things in your life. You lie. You steal. Some of you guys, you're doing some addictive behaviors that need to be broken. And they're holding you back in your assignment. They've bound you. You need to let go. You want a breakthrough in your life. Some of you want promotion in your life. Some of you want some new friends in your life. You want a spouse. Some of you are saying, I want a better spouse. That's not how that works. Right? No. Some of you made some decisions, and now you've got to operate in those decisions you've made. But my question is, do they align with the Word of God? If they don't, then you need to stop. You need to check yourself. And then you need to find out what the Word of God says, because are you going to make it over to the other side? God, do you want me to go over to the other side? You don't want me to. I better turn around right now. Because there's a battle. There's a battle everywhere you go. Everywhere you walk. Everywhere you talk. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want to see you victorious. He doesn't want to see God's glory being shown. He doesn't want that. He's going to do everything in his power to destroy you. Now, I know I went a little longer this morning, but I want us to have victory over the battles that we are facing right now. I'm sad for some of your marriages. I'm sad for what you are dealing with some of your children. I'm sad of some of the decisions you've made, and you continue to keep making them over and over and over again. Because why? Because you don't know what the map says. I'm concerned that you don't know what your assignment is. And I'm concerned that you don't know that God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to succeed. He doesn't want to see failure. My wife and I, we'll get in a fight. Oh, no, it's crazy, right? Can't believe it. Anna and I fight. We get in a fight. Do you think that we just look at each other and that's it? We just want to hold that, place it right here in this category of I'll bring it up later. No. No, that's how the enemy grabs a hold of it. No. We talk about it right there. No. I'm sorry. I don't want this. Our marriage is supposed to last forever. We made a covenant with one another. So we're going to talk this thing through. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Your children. Listen, every day I drive by this Burlington Fire Department. The band can come out anytime. There's a Burlington, and it's a safe place you can drop kids off with no questions. And I offer Anna every day. Now, I'm only kidding. My kids know that I love them. They're in this room right now. They know that. Colton, I love you. You're my favorite. Listen, the other two are working back there, and the kids are, they don't know. Shh. But every day, oh, is there another one here? Cohen. Cohen, you're my favorite too, man. Every day you have a choice. That's the part of what I'm really talking about today. You have a choice. There's such a thing as free will. Because I could take off my shirt right now and do a belly roll if I wanted to. But I'm not going to. Because why? Because there's consequences. We're being filmed on YouTube right now. That will haunt me forever. And you. But I have a choice. I choose my four children to be my children. I choose now to sow into them and not ignore them. I was so thrilled. My oldest son, I'm going to embarrass the snot out of him. My oldest son, he went on his first date this past week. I loved it. You know what was so cool about it? He's 16 years old. And he came home and all he wanted to do was sit down in front of his mom and dad and tell us all about it. Now, I'm not bragging on Anna and I'm really not. But I got to tell you, that made us so proud that he wanted to share. We were like, did you hold her hand? He's like, yeah, like one time. But, you know, it was so precious to us. See, those are those moments of sowing into our children, sowing and telling them that we love them and that we're for them. You have a choice. You need to make good choices. You need to know what God's word says about your choices. What is he saying about your life? You have a choice. But you need to recognize through the goggles of knowing what God's word says that there are things that are going to try to trip you up. There are battles that are set before you. And yes, the Holy Spirit will lead you into those battles. Why? So that what? You can give God the glory. That you can go through that battle and you can usher and operate into that power. Some of you guys have been praying for that power. Here's your opportunity to operate in that power. You got to know what God's word says about your life. You have to know this. You got to know your assignment. You have to know your assignment. Some of you will not be defined by your choices. Meaning this, that in your past, those things have happened. Don't harbor on those. Isaiah 43, he's a new thing. He's doing a new thing. God, I want to be a new thing. I want to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. God, I want to behold in the new thing. I want to be there in the new thing. So some of you in this room, you haven't made Christ Jesus the Lord over your lives. Lord, meaning everything is his. And everything that he has is yours. You need to give your life over to him. Because why? Because you want to become a new thing. A new thing. If you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to be honest with man, honest with God, honest with yourself. So I'd like for everyone to stand to your feet right now. We're going to begin to just pray right where we are. I want you to pray. Lord, we thank you for this room, for everyone that's in here. Lord, that in this room, that there is such a time as this. God, that you've placed people in this room. Lord, that they're going to call upon your name. They're going to make you Lord over their lives. And God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you, Lord, that they've been given a choice to make that happen today. So for you that's in this room and you want to make that decision, just continue to pray. Every head bowed and eye closed. I want you to raise your hand right where you are. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand if you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior. Thank you. Thank you. 3 hands. Any more hands? Any more hands? I'd like for all of us to pray this prayer together this morning. And for you that raised your hand at the end of church, my left, your right, this back corner, we have a prayer room. We have some wonderful people back there that are going to, they want to pray with you. They want to give you a Bible. They want to come alongside you, okay? But let's pray this prayer right here together. Say, Jesus. Everyone, one more time. Jesus, I declare you Lord over my life. I believe with all of my heart that you've washed me clean as snow. God, that I am white. Lord, new robes. clean garments. God, I thank you that today is a new day. I love you, and I declare it that you're Lord over my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you need anything, do not hesitate. Go back to that room. We've got people back there that are going to want to love on you. They want to give you some Bibles, whatever you need. We got all this literature, all these things for you. Now, I know some of you raised your hand today, so I know you guys should go back there. It's the most important thing you can do, okay? All right. Pastor Adam, come on over.